Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our study on the book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Eliphaz had already taken his first shot at Job. Now Eliphaz is taking his second shot at Job. He's trying to prove that Job is suffering because of some sin that he had committed. So in Job chapter 15 in verses 1 through 13 we read Eliphaz's statement. He says, "Should a wise man answer with windy knowledge? Should he reason with speeches which have no profit? You do away with fear, Job, for your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Were you the first man born? Have you heard the secret counsel of God? And do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we don't know? With us are both the gray-headed and the aged, mightier than your father as today's. Why does your heart carry you away, that you turn your spirit against God, and let such words go out of your mouth?" So during Eliphaz's first discourse, he judged Job of committing sins that resulted in being punished by God. During the second discourse, Eliphaz judges Job of charging God with foolishness and with turning his spirit against God. Remember that you are the judge in this case. Job is the accuser and prosecutor. God is the defendant, and Job's three friends are the witnesses. Upon hearing Eliphaz's testimony so far, how do you judge the case? Is Job being punished indeed by God because of sins he committed? Or is God unjustly punishing Job? Is Job simply asking God, "Why me, Lord?" Or has Job crossed the line and sinned with his lips? These are all important questions that you, as the judge and jury, must decide. Now listen to Job's rebuttal that he gave to Eliphaz. We can find this in Job chapter 16 and verses 1 through 4. This is Job chapter 16 and verses 1 through 4. Job answered and said, "I have heard many such things. You are all miserable comforters. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you should answer? I could also speak as you do. If your soul was in my soul's place, I could heap words up against you and shake my head at you. But God has delivered me to the perverse." And this is in verse 11 now. "God has delivered me to the perverse and turned me over into the hands of the wicked." Whew, man, these accusations are just flying back and forth. Eliphaz hitting Job left and right, a left hook, a right cross. And Job is trying to duck and weave and come back and give him an uppercut. I mean, they're just firing at each other. And Job is saying, "You guys are just perverse, and God has turned me over into the hands of wicked people." Now in verse 20, "My friends scorn me. My eye pours out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor." Now we should pause for a moment to consider how long-time friendships can turn hostile so quickly. I'm sure that Job was initially relieved to see his friends as they came into focus over the horizon, anticipating that they would bring him some comfort and encouragement. And it's obvious that his friends were sincerely concerned for him. After all, they had come from faraway lands and were prepared to stay for as long as it would take to help mend their friend. So what went wrong? What went wrong? Well, the friendship was torn apart because both sides were judging according to appearances rather than judging righteous judgment. To Job's three friends, it appeared that Job was suffering because he sinned, and they rebuked Job as though they were speaking on God's behalf. To Job, it appeared that God was punishing him for no good reason, since he knew he was guiltless. And therefore he rebuked his friends because he knew that they weren't speaking on God's behalf. So both sides needed to take the beams out of their own eyes, and then they would have been able to judge righteous judgment. By judging righteous judgment, both sides would have been able to see God's love in the situation. So that's how things went from good to bad and from bad to worse. The friendship was just torn apart because both sides were judging according to appearances rather than righteous judgment. And you remember in previous programs we went over this difference between judging according to appearances, what's on the surface, rather than judging righteous judgment. And the righteous judgment is seeing things with the eyes of love. And Job fell into the trap, unfortunately, of saying that God wasn't allowing him to suffer because God loved him and wanted to teach him some great lesson. Job was saying, and that would have been the righteous judgment because he would have imputed love to God. But he was judging according to appearances because it appeared to Job that God was just punishing him for no good reason. And since he knew he was guiltless, he went about rebuking his friends because he knew they weren't speaking on God's behalf. And actually, he should have done that. But where he crossed the line was he started to impute bad motives to God. And then Job's three friends, they were judging according to appearances because in their minds, only people who are outside of the will of God suffer the way Job was suffering. They could not imagine that a child of God could suffer in that way and have not sinned to bring it upon themselves. So they judged on the surface. And they should have judged as opposed to through appearances what was just the shallow thing that they could see. They should have gone deeper and they should have discerned the heart of Job and said, you know, from all of our years that we've known Job, Job has always been a great person, and we know that God is good and that God is great. So Job is suffering like this, but he has told us that he hasn't sinned and we don't know about any sin, so we believe him. And we're just going to continue to support Job and just tell Job, Job, we believe you. We believe that you haven't sinned, that God's not punishing you, that God is just trying to take you to a deeper level in your relationship with him, that God loves you. Just believe that, Job, and have patience. That's the approach that they should have had, to give Job the benefit of the doubt because they loved him, and to give God all of the glory for being good all of the time, and not necessarily for punishing Job because he had sinned. Because again, they were going on that basis that, hey, if he's suffering, he had to have sinned, because God's people don't suffer like that unless they sin. So they were judging by appearance. They thought they were speaking on God's behalf, but Job could shoot right through that because he knew that he hadn't done anything to bring this type of horrible suffering upon himself. But again, he made the mistake of saying, well, I didn't do it to cause suffering to come upon me, so, I mean, if it's not me that's wrong, it's got to be God that's wrong. So both of them missed the point. They had big beams in their eyes, and they needed to take the beams out of their eyes, and then they would have been able to see clearly what was going on. So the longer they, both sides, based their arguments on just what was on the surface, what they saw, based on appearances rather than looking for love, then the worse the situation became. A word to the wise. If you have well-meaning friends that claim that they're speaking in the name of God, you need to evaluate everything that they're saying according to the scriptures. And if what they're saying do not match up against the scriptures, then you should discount their testimony. And you should be able to correct them in the spirit of love, because we should always speak the truth in love, but you should be able to correct them in the spirit of love. And if you're ever defending yourself against someone, make sure that you always give glory to God. Right, you might not have sinned, you might not have done anything to bring suffering upon yourself, but still remember that if God has allowed this suffering, then God is just. He always does the right things. Our Father knows best. So always give the glory to God. Thanks for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program where we're going to talk about Bildad and Zophar's second rounds of accusations against Job, and then we're going to see Job's retort against his friends. Again, thank you for joining me. May God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.